Hearted it. But that's the day, brother. That's just the devil.
Well, what we've been hearing from Mr. Seaman so far is nothing but the truth, but he's also been known sometimes to tell some tall tales. Now, I don't want to turn him into a liar or anything here this afternoon, but I was wondering if you could share with us some tall tales, some of your favorite ones that you heard growing up.
Oh, well, that's hard for me to do.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
You don't tell no stories.
I find that hard to believe.
Tell the one about you getting chased by the bull.
Well, that happened a long time ago when I was young. We lived, like I told you, we lived out in the woods. And if your friend or wherever you wanted to go was in that direction, you did not go down this street, go down there, you just head through the woods. If there was an orange grove in the road, you just come over the fence, went through the orange grove, come up, went on. Nowadays, they'd have you arrested for trespassing, but them days they did. Well, I went to see a friend of mine. Like I say, I went right straight away. And I come across a pasture with several cows grazing in there. And there was an old bull in there, and he was mad to the world. And he took after me. Well, all I had to do was run. I was young and strong. I give him a run for his money, too, and I see the tree about a half mile down there. Only tree around in that prairie. I made for that. But when I got there, the bull had gained on me a little bit. And that tree was the only thing between me and eternity. So I saw that limb there. That lowest limb was about 15 feet above the ground. Well, I had no choice. So I was doing my best, and I looked at that limb, and I put every ounce of strength I had in my two legs, and I jumped for it, and I missed it. But I caught it on the way coming down. Yep.
I hear your sister had a pretty good milk cow too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I went down there one day, and you know, in the old days, down there, people didn't have money to have wells dug by machinery or buy a pipe and drill it. Didn't have the money. So the only way you got water, you dug a hole. Before you went down, the more you got. And some people boarded the deck on the side so it wouldn't cave in. And then they put two stands up there, about four by fours, one across and a pulley. Put a belt up over a pulley, a bucket on a rope, you know, with that pulley. And you let the rope down, let the bucket down there, get it full of water, then you pull it back up. That's where you got your water. Well, there's a lot of them down there. I banned them. Sister had one of them. Now they had, later years, could afford to have a well drilled, you know. Now that hole down in the back of the field was still there. So I went down there one day. My sister was all upset. And what's the matter with you? My prize milk cow just fell in that old abandoned well down there and I can't get her out. We don't have a derrick, we don't have a wrecker, we don't have nobody. No way to pull her out. And she's down there. So I went down there and looked, sure enough, cow was down the well. I told her I'd get that cow up for you. So I went to the house, got a ladder, and I crawled out there where the cow was. She was the best milk cow in the county, and that was true. I started milking. I didn't stop. Right on. You know, I floated that old cow right out of there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
If it wasn't the truth, he wouldn't have told it.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell you a story about that. But I went fishing down there one day, and I had a little boat, I paddled out there. I caught two or three right away. And the fog come in so thick, I couldn't see where I was. It's just like I was in a white sheet. Everywhere I looked, the fog. I couldn't tell which way was home. There I was, sitting out in that boat. And I just had to wait till the fog cleared up before I could see how to get home. I had three or four fish in the boat. Well, that fog caught so darn thick that them fish swam out of the boat.
Okay, well, we're about out of time. Well, thank you so much for coming for Mr. Seaman. And he's very deserving of the Heritage Award this year, so I'm real proud of him. You want to hear one more tune? Okay, we got time for one more tune. What would you like to play?
Well...
This is one he wrote for his wife Annie. It's the Annie Seaman Waltz. And there's a 9-year-old friend of mine who's playing this at this festival now, so the tradition continues. I'm real proud to see it. We'd invite you to come down to the main stage at 6:15 to see him get his award, and then afterward, everybody's invited to the reception up over the top of the hill in the auditorium. We have another Heritage Award winner who we're going to be interviewing in just a little bit, Mr. Bobby Henry back there. So we've got him coming up on stage next. But how about a big hand for Richard and Jack? Thank you. I'd like to introduce you to Bobby Henry. And Bobby Henry's another one of our 6 Heritage Award winners this year, and he'll also be honored down on stage, and you can talk to him afterward in the reception. But you're being honored for a lot of different things here. he's recognized by Chairman Billy and Billy Cypress and a lot of the other Seminoles as being, Billy Cypress said it very well, he says he embodies what they really value in a Seminole man. And they said they can't think of anyone more deserving of the honor this year for it, for all of the wealth of traditions that he carries on. I met Bobby Henry when he was making a canoe for us, a dugout canoe, and was real struck by that. His canoes have been in exhibits. They've been used, all kinds of different things like that. He's also a medicine man. He's worked with the dancers. He trains dancers. He makes dance instruments, rattles, shakers, all kinds of other things that probably I don't know about. But what I thought I'd do is just ask him some questions, and I'd like to also invite questions from the audience if you would like to learn more about his life history and that. So we'll just turn it over to you. If you could tell me a little bit about how you got your start with the canoe making. I find that so interesting.
Okay. See, I was about 9 or 10, and my dad make him canoe. That one, I ain't big enough to handle anything before. So, and my uncle and my dad, and going to the woods, finding a big log. I'm going to stand up in a live tree. So, and like mostly we hunt, but sometimes we go in the back in the swamp and find a wood, and my grandfather just get the stick, big stick like that, the claw, you know, and walk over the big log. He tapping it harder than you can. Tap, and listen a little bit, and hey, go to the next one. So he do the same thing. So he go to the next one. So, and he hit it again, and okay, let's work on this one. So, and you know, he checking something, but I don't know what it was, but like maybe 50 years later, or starting in, I was like 30, I learned in 30 in a medicine thing. So, and I'm 18 years old, I got married, and so I started making canoe. So when I asked my dad, my grandfather had been gone a long time, and he said, what are you doing that before? Hit him in the stick or in the wood. He looking for the holler. I mean, he looked for the solid. If you hear something different, he was hollow inside, so he doesn't mess with it. So and so he go to the next one. If it's, he can hear it solid, that's why I start doing it. But so that time I back up again. And that time in just chop it like 6 inches in and 10 inches wide around. Call it, ring it around it, and leave it there. Leave it there, and about 8 months. 8 months, and but a dry season like this, and ring around it, leave it there, and 8 months, and go back down there. It was dead tree. I mean, dry it out. So that's why I start work on another 8 months on top of that, hoping it get done by then, and they probably rain by then. You know. I think that's why they did it, and I see him several doing like this, and I said, that's the way to do it, you know, and so I did that, but it looked like rain coming pretty soon, you know, I mean, I'm not about three-quarter away, you know, like that. So anyway, I get help, you know, and I know I get help and finish on time, you know, so I did that before, and go on, and now, and like 50 years later, and we can't get the wood. We usually go any place we can get the wood before, but now we can't get it. But sometime, and we ask him, James Billy, and we get the wood sometime, and it's reservation over there. Huh. That's the only way we get it in the reservation. So that's what I learned from, but like a small one, like maybe a wooden knife. So that's my toy. That's my toy. But before, my dad makes me before I was young. So I grow up and I can handle a knife. And I'm using it. And now I'm doing my grandkids and all that going. You know, mm-hmm. like that. Now everybody's toy. We got a shop and we got to make a lot of it. You know, mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. That's why you see them around. People sell right here, and that's yeah. where the income from, yeah. like that. But he was toy, but still a toy, but shared with other people like that.
Yeah. Well, when you were growing up, you would use them for actually going hunting and fishing along the Everglades?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we do. Just live on in like fish and turtles and the birds. That's what we eat, you know, yeah. like that. So, and that's where I grew up on it, but now. And I come out, and so I see them, and people go to school and learn and get the education thing. That's good. And so I never went one of those, you know, uh-huh. like that. Uh-huh. I would grow up in the swamp. Yeah. But like my grandkids, I said, and they go to school, get your yeah. education.
Yeah.
So we just teach them in both ways. Well, our language go on, and not Indian language go on. So we just... I just work on both education, I think, like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how many people have you taught that tradition of boat building?
Not too many. My son, and like 30 years old, just make some, but I help them finish one once in a while like that. But not too many people, like interested or, you know, like better to do someplace or something, you know, like that.
Yeah. Do you think that that's a craft that's endangered of dying out or anything like that, or do you think it'll be sustained?
Yeah, you're talking about the wood or
the boat building. Do you think that they'll continue to be boat builders?
Yeah. Only need made by like 5 or 10 more people. They carry on in a long time. Like that.
Yeah.
But like I say, slow people coming in and learn, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Takes a while to get learned, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So now if you're like 6,000 pound of log, and if you finish by like 300 pounds, that we can float. So, and you don't want to mess up, and you work on 8 months on it, you know.
Wow.
Otherwise, you can you'll wind up a bunch of firewood.
8 months for a single boat.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. How thin are the walls on that?
Side maybe about 1 1/4 inches, and on the bottom maybe 2-3 inches. Because it moved weight on the bottom, that way don't lift over too much.
Uh-huh.
But it did. I mean, a lot of that. You got to stand right. Yeah.
Yes. Good question.
Okay, you finish it. After get dry and do it right, like 60 or 100 years old, like that. Yeah, we burn. Yeah, burn. But shape up outside first, and chop it like chalk, like that, and wood and everything inside, and you start burning it. But you got to get, sometimes we use a bamboo and blow it. It was longer, 30 feet longer, you have to back and forth, you know. And but sometimes we use it, the turkey feathers, you know, like that. But not easy for me, that one. Go on, but you have to watch it. Sometimes in you burn it too much one side and too much one spot, it could make a hole, so you have to check it, time to scrape it, so when you get your hand full of mud and mud it up each one like that. Make sure it's stopping, and the rest of them go on, just check it, and then turn back on this side, and both sides, watching all the time. And it takes for a while. And after that, and you can burn it that some, and okay, look pretty close to finish, and you can, one of those, I don't know what they call it, that put, chop it up, flowing in there, you probably see it over there.
An adze?
Adze, yeah. Mm-hmm. That one is a small one and big one, so finish one. So we use them in kind of like this because Seminole people digging out, it kind of round on the bottom like that. And like African or different Indian or something, and just square like that. I think Cherokee, you put it down like that and on the bottom like square like that.
Do you know how the Seminole style of dugout canoe developed? Is that from the Cherokees or is it its own design?
No, that's a lot different. I mean, completely different than anything canoe.
Oh.
Yeah. Not different people don't make like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one time, like, somebody finding it in by the Tallahassee in about, like, 1927. But that one looks like, people made that before, so I think the Spanish people copied it or something. Yeah. We used to see them chopping it like an axe in it like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it looked like if it not burner or something, you know, that. So I got them in the village over there.
Yeah. Are there some of them down in the family camp here? I noticed there were 2 or 3 canoes this
year.
And those are yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can see that.
In the family camp, on down the hill over here, the Seminole family camp, some of Mr. Henry's works there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cypress, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cypress wood.
Yeah,
it's already been fine and it's stronger and float easy. Pine, it got rot easy. After you finish, after you put it in the water, leave it in the water. Let it soak in and let's keep tight. If you put it out, let them dry, wet it again, dry it again, they start cracking, you know. Cypress crack easy, but you can control it, thing like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people ask me, and they put stuff in it, you know, things like that. It'd be all right. I think it's working pretty good. But I didn't try them yet, but a lot of stuff, put it in the woods, you know, saving it, cracking everything. Uh-huh. It must be working okay. And I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah.
We never did put anything before, you know, like that.
Uh-huh. And that'll draw only about 3 inches of water or so?
The boat? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. As long as it's wet, it's light.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's why we got it in the hole in the back and in the front. And sometimes we use it rope and put through. And sometimes we load, and like even grandma, you know, anybody can't pull like that. So we usually pull. It can't go on like that. So we just get down, the rope, and just pull.
Oh.
Pull, go across in that deep water, and you jump in, and you go again. But this canoe, just make them go straight, you know. After you start it, it'll go, you know, like that. So that way, just a little bit here, a little bit there, and stand up for a while, and a little bit there, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And before, coming Chukaleski and Tallahassee, in age of the ocean, coming in, he make it huge. I mean, like 5 feet across, maybe like 50 feet long.
Uh-huh.
Now I can't find the locks now. I mean, no more, but before had it like that.
Yeah.
See the old picture, saddle on top of it, and wind hits it, you know, go on, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chukaleski and Tallahassee, this Indian trail right there, by edge of the ocean, you know, like that.
Yeah. Another thing that we've noticed with Mr. Henry that we've really wanted to honor this year is his advocacy of Seminole traditions and education through your work down in Tampa. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you got your start with your work teaching the public about Seminole traditions down in the village.
Okay, what happened? And I'm from Everglades, but it's a Miccosukee Tribe reservation now, but before it just open place and... So we were hunting and everything. So and already I learned anyway, but during the reservation in 1957. So my daddy said, well, let's travel around and do an alligator show, go places, make canoe, woodwork, and we sell and working. So in a raining season, we come back and hunting frogs and our canoe, but it don't go too good no more. So not like before, everybody else involved in you know, airboat and airplane motor and everything. So, and we go on alligator show, like Miami, 27th Avenue area, and go on. And that's why we live in village myself. I mean, you know, I know all about village. I grew up on in village. And so that's why James Billy, he knows, I know this village, I mean, building village kind.
Mm-hmm.
So, it started in 1980, and 80, and he just invited me and help him, you know, take over this village and everything. I said, no, I worked there in in Brandon area working. So, but he come in once in a while, and he said, you'd be good in the education thing, and you know, teaching, and not only you people, only other people, maybe, you know, be good. He said, oh, be all right, but I just don't want to do it kindly, you know. But now I'm thinking, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea to do this, and everybody else learning, and all the time, and just young kids coming in, young kids in the village. And where's the horses? Where's the fellas? And all that going in. So maybe we can teach them. We can teach them like that, probably. And in school, people, somebody take over or something, and he can teach it. You know, and this young kid, he thought maybe in this Indian, this Indian, all of them the same. You know,
right,
that's why
right.
He's looking. You know,
yeah.
So I was thinking about it, and I'll come on over and help them build it, and so and I can go on and and I was manager in 1982. We opened 83, so we worked that in 83, and he wanted me manager for doing it. So I go on, and like 3-4 years later, and he said, I want you to take over. I want you to take over and, you know, and make them your own, like you own it. I said, okay. I asked him what happened. He said, too many chief and not enough Indians. I said, okay, I'll take over for you. So I've been since in take over, and just I had people and my youngest kids grow up, and so I teach them, he teach them other people, you know. Yeah. So people come in and tell guys and show tellers and all that going.
Yeah.
That's where I begin to start, you know.
Uh-huh.
So in alligator, I'm doing alligator wrestling everything in last 50 years. And about 3-4 years ago, I said, I'm going to retire. So for young people.
You alligator wrestling?
Yeah.
And you still have 10 fingers, right?
Yeah. I look at it and I told them boys, he said, if you get this job, nobody will take it away from you. So that's where it began, you know.
Uh-huh.
And been there about almost 20 years, I think,
yeah.
Over there.
Yeah.
So I kind of like them. I mean, you know, like my home.
Right.
But I got my mom, he got the 10 Mammoth Trail, and they got the village over there by close to Naples, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down, we built it. I went down and visited it once in a while. I want to get away from, you know, with Tampa.
Uh-huh.
So I went down there hunting, fishing, gigging, you know,
yeah.
Cook out, then come back and work again, you know,
uh-huh.
Teaching people again.
Uh-huh.
Like that.
Does your village get the younger Seminoles interested in their traditional culture, too? Do you think it
influences
them?
Yeah, but kind of low. I mean,
uh-huh.
Not too many.
Yeah.
Like that. Talking about it, even Miccosukee people, talking about it, once in a while he come to me, spend a day or so, and that's good. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And so he go back and maybe he don't get it this time, and maybe 2, 3, 10 times or something, and he gets it in a couple of words and everything go on like that.
Yeah.
But that, I was like 11 or I mean 9 and go on and 12, but I was 12 at Alligator Show, and it's the same time in Millicent. Thing like, but I was young, so, and in between, you know, I got better to do, you know, kind of, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it took a long while. I was like 31 years old, and I recognized like medicine thing like that.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, and which is my teacher's gone, my daddy's gone, and so, and he been told me, he said that we'll be gone one day, you don't want to be teaching, go on. He said,
uh-huh.
I don't think it'll happen, but today I see it'll happen, you
uh-huh.
know.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's where I'm at now.
So you were recognized as a medicine man, and then they brought you up and trained you that way?
Yeah.
Is that how it worked?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, and, Miccosukee tribe, they're like me, but I'm independent. You know, I never sign up and roll in Seminole tribe, Miccosukee tribe, or things like that, you
uh-huh.
know?
Right.
Like somebody waiting in the casino and everything, and me, I gotta work it on. Yeah.
We've got time for a couple questions if you have any.